Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
What happens if you want to go off the grid and you live in a complex or an estate? We've asked our expert energy analyst Roger Lilly to join us this morning. Thank you. How are you doing?
Good morning, Howard, and thank you for inviting me to your show. Good morning to all your listeners.
So how complicated is it if I live in a complex and we decide, look, enough is enough now, we wanted to go completely off grid? What are some of the complexities around this?
What would have to happen is that the complex firstly has to be one of those sectional title complexes, mm-hmm. where you have a body corporate that is basically in control of the complex and so on. It also has to show that it is capable of generating sufficient electricity from the rooftop areas, and would have to have some area for storage of energy so that you've got electricity after the sun goes down. So obviously those sorts of requirements would have to be in place. So the body corporate would have to be able to show that this is in fact, viable from a physical and practical.
It's got to be viable. It's got to be sustainable, I imagine, and you've got to be sectional title. Those are the three main requirements, would you say?
Correct. You would then have to the body corporate would then have to have an agreement with all of its tenants, the various owners of the units. So let's say we have a complex that has, let's say, 50 units in it.
Mm-hmm.
So all 50 units. The owners would have to agree to the fact that they are going to change the supply of electricity from the municipality, if they are within a municipality, or from Eskom if they're not, to their own generating system. And the reason for that, of course, is that there are risks involved. For instance, if you have sufficient number of days without enough sun, the batteries will run down, and then you won't have any electricity. If you're now off the grid, you can't just switch back to municipal power. So basically, you pay your money and take your chances, and then not everybody will necessarily agree with that concept.
So
the other thing, of course, and the other reason that everybody would have to agree to it is that there would be a financial implication, because there would be capex involved in terms of purchasing the equipment necessary and installing it.
Yeah,
so you would have. So I think where you have to start is your body corporate has to decide that this is viable, and they would have to look at it economically as well. We spoke about this before, Howard, and it has been shown that you can recoup the capex that you spend in a relatively short period of time.
Yes.
Because of the fact that the electricity tariffs from Eskom and then passed through by the municipalities are getting higher and higher every year. So obviously, if one sits down and does the calculation properly, you can find that your payback period is relatively short, certainly shorter than the 20 years life that you could expect from the PV panels and the batteries. And that, of course, is another aspect, because whatever financial system that you put in place for the various owners of the houses within the estate, they would have to be prepared to pay a little extra than the actual usage and the actual initial capex, because you would have to have a fund for replacement. Sooner or later, one or more of those PV panels would have to be replaced, as would some of the batteries. Over a period of time, we know batteries, recyclable batteries, last forever. I'm sure we've all seen that with our car batteries, if nowhere else.
Because it is a major decision, isn't it? It's not something you could do at a whim. It's not just about installing it. This is an ongoing commitment to being off the grid. It isn't just a once off and then you're done. It does have a long-term obligation on all of the owners of the properties.
Yes. In fact, what would probably be the wisest decision from a body corporate's perspective would be to go halfway. By that I mean, get everybody to put solar panels on their roofs, install, if you have a central position somewhere where you can install a battery bank so that you can have power after hours, and then, but keep the municipal connection or the Eskom connection, depending on where you're living, in place until such time as you're confident that you don't really need it anymore. Because going off the grid is quite risky, and if the grid is available to you, it's a good idea to rather remain grid tied, as they call it, than to be completely isolated or islanded, is the correct term.
There was talk at some point about Eskom charging a fair amount for that connection fee. In other words, to maybe disincentivize people from doing this kind of a combination. Is that still on the cards?
Okay, there's two kinds of connection fees. I think maybe you have them confused. So the first connection fee is the standard connection fee that we all have, either with our municipalities or our connection to Eskom.
Mm-hmm.
The second is where you want to send power that you've generated to someone else via the Eskom network. That connection fee is going to be quite expensive, but we haven't actually seen a figure published yet.
Right, and that's the new one that we haven't seen that people are concerned about, where the connection fee goes up and maybe the tariffs come down, and that what that would do is penalize people for using less electricity effect.
That certainly is a possibility.
Would you encourage complexes to start going off the grid?
I would encourage people to have some kind of independent system, but I wouldn't go off the grid. I think a grid-tied system is the safer system. You cut your cost to the municipality or to Eskom because you're only paying a connection fee to the network plus the little bit that you're using. For instance, my brother-in-law, for instance, lives in Bedford View.
Right.
And he has installed such a system in his house. And his system is PV compatible, but he hasn't put the panels on the roof yet. So the batteries are charged by the electricity from the municipality that he lives under, which in his case is Ekurhuleni, excuse me, and he then uses that electricity whenever the municipal power is interrupted for any reason, so whether it's load shedding or a fault in the system somewhere or whatever. I also told him that he can isolate from the municipality and start using the energy from his battery, and he'll immediately start saving money because his municipal meter will stop turning the moment that he's drawing from his batteries. It also helps to cycle batteries. Rechargeable batteries don't like being charged continually and never being used, so they should be cycled. So you know, that's another aspect for that. But I would encourage people to get as far as possible and as far as economically practical to make them, you know, avail themselves of this new technology and make themselves sort of independent, as it were, to some degree from the municipality, so that when problems happen, they're not left in the dark. And because it's not just being in the dark, you know, we can live with candles and gas cookers. We can. The issue comes in with your job, with your career in terms of internet connection, with safety in terms of your security systems. You know, we need electricity. We cannot survive without electricity. So if people are able to create or generate their own power and have it on hand for those times, I would recommend that they do so.
And that's where we leave it, Roger Lolly. Thank you, as always.